Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to travel through our minds, our understandings, through seeking the wisdom that Tricia McCannon offers so often to us through her books and radio shows. And I'm so glad that Tricia is back. Tricia, welcome to Back to Energy Stew, and just remind us what your latest book is and your all that.
Hi, Peter. It's always a pleasure to be with you and our wonderful audience in New York and the whole Northeast area. And I love doing your shows, as you know, because you're so deep and you're fun and you're intelligent and you really go right to the heart of matters. So yeah, for those of you who haven't heard me before, I'm the author of four books, Dialogues with the Angels, Jesus, and it's a long subtitle, but you could just look for Jesus, The Explosive Story of the 30 Lost Years and the Ancient Mystery Religions. That's a mouthful, but it is a tour de force of the great spiritual mysteries and where Jesus was during those years. My third book is called Return of the Divine Sophia, and the subtitle kind of says it all, Healing the Earth Through the Lost Wisdom Teachings of Jesus, Isis, and Mary Magdalene. And so it's really about discovering the hidden history of the planet, where God was considered to be the Divine Mother, and men and women ruled together in partnership, and there was no war on the planet for thousands of years. Imagine that. And then my latest book that came out in the fall of 2017 through my publisher, Inner Traditions, a wonderful publisher, was called The Angelic Origins of the Soul. And it's very much about the landscapes of heaven, where we come from as divine beings, how we come down into this crazy, tumultuous, dualistic world in order to sort of be like an earth school and make choices about, kindness and unity or separation and division. And you can sort of see this going on in the world today, and how we can fall under the illusion that we are separate from source, that we can fall under the illusion that the divine is not everywhere around us or not inside of us. And of course it is inside of us, otherwise we wouldn't be alive. This is the spark of spirit, and the spark of spirit is in everything that we see around us, all the plants, all the trees, all the animals. How do we think they got living? How do we think they got animated? Of course there's this divine spirit of, we can call it God or a tomb or Yahweh or Allah or whatever we want to call it in these various religions that we have. But it's the spark of the divine that lives in all of us, and how we can awaken to that within us and begin to live a higher consciousness life and change the world as a result.
Well, that's a show in itself right there. That what you just said is great. Thank you. So we'll sign off now, right?
Right. Well, it's a fun book. And, I'm a teacher of the Egyptian mysteries and the Celtic mysteries, the Native American twisted hair tradition. I was initiated in that 30 years ago. The Masters of the Far East. I was raised Episcopalian, and I love the Kabbalah, so all the deep esoteric teachings of all the wisdom traditions, I'm very much a fan of. And a lot of my books are about looking below the surface of the exoteric dogma, which separates us many times and causes religious conflict, to the inner wisdom of all these great paths and finding that point of unity where basically they all agree. And so that's part of the teaching that I try to bring to the world today.
Well, that's great. And let's talk now, using that, the context of everything you've recently said on the show, to looking at the Earth school that we're in.
Yes, indeed.
We're in school right now.
We are.
And we don't have very good teachers showing up.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's a challenging school. I often say that Earth is a paradise planet, although we seem to be committed to, changing that and making it hell on Earth. But it is not for the faint of heart. I think
right.
It's a PhD program.
But I want to say something, though, that I want to change something I just said.
Sure.
I said we don't have very good teachers now. I think we have very good teachers right now. I think we're learning the deepest, hardest lessons. And I think that's what we're here for, is for the planet to be hit over the head.
with a shadow, right. What we don't want.
And
I mean, the shadow is a very interesting concept. I mean, it's a psychological concept. You know, certainly it's been externalized into the devil made me do it. Okay. Or, you know, Satan is all powerful. No, it's all taken over the world. Well, certainly, you know, people like the Gnostics believe that this world could be a paradise world, but that the demiurge, or the ones who were the ones in power, the Caesars, for example, the Caligulas, the Neros, all those guys, basically were in control of the power, the politics, the money. So many times the poorest people are the people that are the most enlightened, the people who are not dealing with external power and ambition. And as I talk about in this new book, and you mentioned earlier, right before the show started, a lot of these are the people that are in power who are playing out our shadow with, you know, hypocrisy and lack of ethics and lying, cheating, money laundering, scandals, you know, pedophilia, all the crazy things that are going on out there. Those people are intermediate souls. They think that finding power and money outside themselves is what's going to make them safe. But they don't realize that they're actually creating enormous amounts of karma and baggage for themselves that in future lifetimes, they're going to have to pay off. And, you know, sometimes we'd like to be around to see it, wouldn't we?
But right now, what we want is just some solace that gets us through these tough times. I think so many people are hugely discouraged, depressed about this, aren't even looking for answers because they don't believe the answers are that forthcoming, and are just hanging on for dear life. Every day waking up to new atrocities.
Yeah,
we live in evil times, and you know, and it's really hard to watch how, you know, truth is being challenged.
Yes.
And everybody has to say, how can they do that? How can they say that? How can so many intermediate souls be believing this?
I know. Well, you know, the thing is, intermediate souls go for power. And they're the petty criminals, but they're also the rich, powerful people that are doing these shady deals behind.
But they're also the subjects that believe in it, that follow it and support it.
Yes, yes. Many times those are either young souls that can be manipulated by fear, by the promise of a better life, but they don't have the discernment yet to notice that the person that's promising them that is not really capable of doing that for them.
Well, but also they're being challenged by all the fear that's being created around them and at them.
And
they don't know enough to see through it. They're not, they don't have logic. They can't understand that they're being lied to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, as I talk about in the book, there's beginner souls that are very, very pure, but they don't recognize evil. They have come from the higher worlds more recently. They're usually very magical and creative, but they can be stomped on like a little flower very, very easily and frightened. The young souls, which is the next stage, are many times are fundamentalist in every religion of the world because they are fear-driven. They have figured out this is a crazy, unpredictable world, and so they want safety in numbers.
There's too many of those people right now.
Yes, they want their weapons. They want to build their walls and set their rules and curfews and regulations because they feel like, you know, they'll be safer if they stick together.
You know, it's amazing. You know, I see myself laughing talking about it, and I guess it's because it's ironic, and that's the humor in it that we have to live with this. And I just, you know, trying to create lightness about how dark it is, because I think our souls need to keep shining a light on each other and our possibilities, and find like-mindedness. So many people are hungry to speak with like-minded people.
I agree. And, you know, we were talking about this before the show started, how the Mayans and also the Hopi had predicted that after 2012, there would be a period of enormous testing.
Yes. I keep saying that to people, that this has been predicted for 1,000 years.
2012 didn't mean the end of the world, okay? What it meant was the end of that cycle, and now we are in the time that in Christianity we would call the tribulation, which is the time of choice, where, you know, we have a choice of acting with kindness, compassion, love, and working for unity consciousness, and that means taking care of the planet, the animals, and each other, or doing what seems to be happening in the political arenas, which is basically self-service with lots of deception and lies and, you know, polluting of the environment and the planet and so forth.
What it is that we're being called on that deeper place of wisdom that sees the big picture and understands what absolute truth is. There's you know, they're relative truths, which could be lies. It's all relative, fake news, or at least what supposedly is fake news. It's all about tossing out, you know, propaganda that really can't hide absolute truth.
Well, they're trying their very best. And these are definitely, they're great spin doctors with Fox News and the media. And, you know, Giuliani, who's, you know, just, you know, unbelievable. And that whole group just is all about service to self. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and they make lots of promises and wave flags and say, you know, make America great again. But who they're really trying to profit is themselves. And it's that elite class that wants to continue to stay elite, which moves us into, you know, I mean, I'm all for free enterprise, democracy, but what feudalism was the rich and powerful owned everything and everyone else had to work for them. Why America was a promise of a new life is because the people that came from Europe escaped here to be able to have, you know, 3 acres and a mule so they could actually profit from their own effort. And in the old country, they couldn't because the feudal system, the rich owned everything. Well, that's actually what fascism is. Fascism is the corporations have all the power and the little people have no power. And of course, we want our businesses to thrive, but not just the rich and the powerful. We want all people to be able to benefit.
And this is where the distortions are about capitalism versus socialism, that somehow capitalism is considered, you know, the great opportunity, but they aren't, it's not reined in. And when it's not reined in, it's fascism. And so same thing with socialism. Socialism is a great opportunity, but when it's not reined in, there's greed and corruption.
Exactly, that becomes communism. Socialism is like, let's give everyone a chance. But then if people exploit it and live on the dole and don't make the effort themselves, they just want to live for free and have everyone pay for them, then it becomes, you know, welfare. And so it's this fine line. It's the middle path. And of course, that's what the Kabbalah teaches. The tree of life is the middle path. And this is what was taught in ancient Egypt. One of the things I love about ancient Egypt, there's so much I love about ancient Egypt. But
you're a master of that.
I really
have studied it. Your research is immense. All of your books are major tomes. You know, you're no lightweight when it comes to being an author.
Thank you. You know, I've started, I have two books, new books that are chafing at the bit for me to write them. One about actually the legacy of the gods, the Anunnaki gods, and the people who settled this planet a long time ago, that we have some of their bloodline, certainly, and also the Tree of Life. And then one about the shift of the ages and what's coming in the new earth. But what's happened this past year is I've started doing these amazing online classes with a company called Sacred Stories Media. And you can Google, you know, Sacred Stories Media or Sacred You, like a university. And I've done an amazing online class on the Lost Years and Secret Teachings of Jesus, which is, you know, seven modules and probably 9 hours, but you can download it and watch it in your own time. Gorgeous images, of course, 2,000 images. One on Mary Magdalene and the Divine Feminine and the archaeology of the goddess and the quest for the Holy Grail and the Christ Merovingian bloodline. I did that one in the spring. And I'm working on one that launches in July of 2018 on the Egyptian mystery. So hopefully by the middle of July, it'll be up and running. But what I was going to say that I loved about Egypt was the concept of Ma'at. Ma'at is spelled M-A, and there's a little apostrophe, A-T. So it's like Matt, but Ma'at, okay? And Ma'at is the concept of cosmic truth, the goddess of cosmic truth.
That's kind of like in the Tree of Life, Da'at, which is the throat, which is the bridge between the heart and the head.
Yes, and da'ath is gnosis. It can only be gained through wisdom and experience.
Right.
But ma'at is what, if you see the images of the queens and the kings, they literally are kneeling before ma'at. They are in service to ma'at. And if we had political leaders in service to cosmic truth, and I'm not talking about dogma, I'm not talking about, religion. I'm talking about ethics, morality, and cosmic truth. And what is true? I mean,
the writers of the Constitution were kinds of people.
They were, exactly. And they were going for, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, unity, consciousness, and fairness. And of course, they were coming out of social systems of feudalism and oppression. So it took them a little while to kind of free everybody, okay? But, they laid out those constitutional rights. And this is one of the reasons why America has always been such a beacon of hope for people around the world.
Yes, and it's been so distorted, and even their constitution is being distorted. So I want to come back to this one word that you said, and maybe give us some hope worldwide for the future. And that's the word Merovingian.
Merovingian bloodline, yes.
Okay, there's something about that we should have more of a handle on, because I think we were all moved recently by the marriage of Harry and Meghan, and we saw that that really creates a hope for the future, because that's bringing together two different worlds that really the world, we need that.
We do, and I think those boys are wonderful. William.
Well, tell us why. And what's their heritage that makes them wonderful versus the Queen of England?
Right. So let me say that one of the things that most people don't realize is that the English royal family wound up having the German royal family, which was the House of Hanover, marry into it. In fact, the House of Hanover married into many of the royal families throughout Europe. And the current monarchy, of course, is from the German line. It's not originally British. And so when they wanted Prince Charles to marry Diana, it's because Diana came from the Spencer bloodline. And the Spencer bloodline is the Merovingian bloodline, which is the merger of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. It is that bloodline, the Merovingian kings. And so they wanted that because it legitimized their rule of the throne. And of course, Diana, as we know, had a very hard time because there really wasn't the love that a young girl needs in her marriage.
She was a true carrier of the bloodline that legitimizes the crown.
Plus, once she got over the shock of the fact that her marriage was really an arranged situation that was not about love, she dedicated herself not only to her boys, but to all sorts of humanitarian projects all over the world. And of course, the landmines were one of her favorite. And the two boys, of course, now are from the Spencer bloodline. And so they are really carrying that legacy of light and hope forward, and with very much unity consciousness. And of course, Harry and Meghan are wonderful. You've got America and England. You've got the whites. You've got the blacks. You've got the black reverend minister who was really, delivering such a message of like, hey, let's, live these words of Jesus. Let's practice this.
And we see that in these young men. That they're living very authentically.
I love that. And they're actually out there on the front lines, and Meghan is doing it. And I suspect that once the caretaking of all the heirs, which of course has fallen to Kate and William, they now have I think two boys and a girl. Isn't that right?
I think so.
Yeah. So, once that's all set up, at some point, probably they'll be doing it. But there, since he's the heir apparent, he could be assassinated. So better to keep him in the country. So Meghan and Harry are free, as they say, an heir and a spare. So they're free. They're free to basically go out and do these good works without having the same limitations on their geographical accessibility. So bravo, bravo.
But what I like about it is that, let's just say that they represent the crown of the United Kingdom, but it's more than that, is that they really need to be role models for the whole planet.
And that's what we
have the opportunity to see now.
And that's what presidents should be. That's what kings and queens should be.
Yes.
The truth is that a good king or a good queen or a good president is not there for himself. He is there as a servant, a public servant who was elected to serve for 4 years or 8 years or whatever the heck it is, or in the case of kings and queens, for life. They are there for the public.
And we're seeing some rule, some presidents now around the world who have that.
Yes, in fact, the prime minister in Canada seems to be a lovely example of that.
Right.
Kindness and dignity. The prime minister in Germany seems to be a lovely example. There are, and she's a woman, the prime minister in England seems to be an example of that. And unfortunately,
right, but they're all under attack.
They're all under attack by the dark forces. And it's unfortunate that America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, that has held these ideals. Yes, we may have had some corruption behind the scenes in some of the presidencies, but by and large, they had a moral compass. By and large, they stood up for, the rights of human beings and for the good of the nation. They may have done a few backdoor deals. They may have had a little affairs on the side, but what we've got going on now is just right in our face. It's the shadow with the mask of, the spin doctors put on it with narcissism, deceit, sexism, racism, and narcissism taken to a place that, thank goodness these presidential terms are only 4 years.
But the good news is that it's so extreme that it's waking so many people up.
Yes, and unfortunately, it's mobilizing some of the young. I mean, the whole idea that the NRA has such power with money and paying off politicians on the back end, that they will allow our children to go to school and be gunned down and shot, is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's just like, are you kidding me? That it's taking the teenagers to stand up for their own lives.
They're our future.
Yes, and I mean, and this is gonna, this is probably the generation of that's born with Pluto. This is astrology, Pluto in Capricorn and Pluto in Sag. And our generation is born with Pluto in Leo. Our generation was about changing the world through creative endeavor, and it produced the Rolling Stones.
But when you say Pluto in Leo, let's just give a generality of what that means. Pluto is karma, and Leo is
creativity.
It's also action. It's fire.
Yeah. So Pluto moves about every 14 to 17 years into a new sign. Right now it's in Capricorn, and I'm an astrologer. I'm a clairvoyant. I've done this work for 30 years. I've done probably 6,000 readings from people all around the world. And So each generation is marked by certain outer planets, and certainly Pluto is the longest running because it's the outermost planet, although they've demoted it from a planet, but we know it's still a planet.
It still has power.
It hasn't affected Pluto's ego one bit. Okay. Right. So the kids that were born in the 40s, like you were, and the early 50s, like I was, or to the mid 50s, actually, are all Pluto and Leo people. And those are people who came to change the world. So the Andy Warhols and the Beatles and the, you know, Moody Blues and the Grateful Dead and, you know, that whole wave. And they did through the 60s, and the 70s and 80s. The next generation that was born probably from about 57, my guess is about 57 on for about 17 years, that was Pluto in Libra. And so, in Virgo, that generation was about, these are the people who have given us collagen, facelifts, Pilates, yoga on every block.
Service.
Yeah, it's not a service, but it's also health. Virgo is the healer. So They've given us collagen and, you know, ways to look younger, longer, and that's great. And working for perfection.
So what came after that?
Pluto and Libra. And these are the kids that, you know, you can't tell if the girl's a boy or the boy's a girl, A, C, B.
Wow.
Working for the balance.
Balance.
Exactly. And then you have Pluto in Scorpio. And those were the ones who have the ear piercings and the nose piercings and the belly button piercings and the tattoos. And, you know, but if that generation ever gets itself together, if they, you know, in the bad news, they go towards S&M. Okay. But on the good side, they have the power to transform the world because Scorpio is very deep and very initiatic and very transformative. And I hope that generation really gets their act together because they'll be a wonderful force for the world if they do. And then it went to Pluto in Sag. And this was during the 90s where we had wonderful inflation and Bill Clinton was in office and so forth. But then we had fiscal irresponsibility and there was the crash of the banks where we had to bail the banks.
Right. We only have about a minute left to the show right now.
Well, today we're in Pluto in Capricorn. That's where it's been since probably 2000, something like 2000, early 2000s. We're only halfway through Pluto and Capricorn. So this is the revolution of governments. It's the revolution of our structure. And it's time for us to stand up for the kind of world that we want, you know?
That's great. That's a wonderful way to end the show because we're looking forward to change. Change from not just change into where we are now, but change out of it.
The people who want to find me can just go to my website, TrishaMcCannon.com or TrishaMcCannonSpeaks.com, and you'll see all sorts of classes there. I haven't, I have a mystery school with 12 online classes you can actually order. I have about 30 DVDs, and I'll be updating that site probably in the beginning of July when the Egyptian Mystery School launches. So,
what joy talking with you.
Always, Peter. I totally love it. You are one of my favorite people on the whole planet.
Joe, and you're mine. And I'm sure our audience is grateful for hearing from you. And I'm so glad you can be on Energy Stew.
Ma'at, the feather of truth. Good thing to remember and live by.
Good.
Thank you. Till the next time, I guess.
Sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening. Thank you.